Hey guys, we're back. Smart Brand Marketing. My guest is on the phone. He's like, oh shit, we just started the show.
Yeah,
I got Ben Jewolski with me. He's he had a gym. He went into online courses. I would say he's got a very interesting way of positioning them. And I think that's what we'll talk about today. This breakup of one huge course into multiple courses. Now, you've never broken it up, but I'm just saying, because, you know, most people just
kind of... I have the idea to have them all together.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, but that's usually what I'm seeing. And I told you, like, that's the problem I have with one of my partners, you know. Huge course. I mean, like, when you mention 12 courses, I can probably break it up into maybe 8 or 9.
Yeah.
You know, so it's too big. It feels like too big. And he's doing the membership thing, too.
Well, think about it. The last time you joined a course that took, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 hours to get through just the content, not even the application of it. It's like, it's too big. And for me, it's just like keeping the athletes, like keeping my customers focused on like the one thing that they really need to work on to fix the one problem they have.
Right.
And once they check that off, they can always move on to the next one. But I'm not forcing them to go through all of this material just to get the desired outcome. So I segmented, you know, maybe I can't solve for as high, but actually the lifetime value of the customer is higher and they get exactly what they want every time.
So I guess, like, when I think of like the position that we're in with this big course, right? And I think Chike, like, the main thing he was asking me, like, so where do we start them off, right? Because he's got this huge thing. He wants to teach them everything because that's what the teacher does, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, normally at the gym, he'll be like, we're going to go through everything. So where would I start these people off? Like, where do you start the funnel?
So that's the thing, is you don't have a funnel start people,
mm-hmm.
right? So chances are he has, like, the people who follow him already know how to fight a little bit,
yeah.
or, you know a decent amount. What I have is at the top of my funnel, I have a bunch of different lead magnets that are all very specific.
Right.
So, you know, if someone wants to get better at pull-ups, like, we have free pull-up training courses, and we have tons of free pull-up videos, like, on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. Someone watches one of those videos, my call to action is very relevant. My call to action is, hey, if you want a free video guide on how to learn how to do pull-ups, you know, go here and you can download it. They go and they download it, and then, you know, they get dumped into my evergreen funnel. But ultimately, everyone's going to be pitched one of these courses, and we, you know, launch a course every like 2 to 3 months. We'll like do a full blown list wide launch on a new course that hasn't been launched in a long time. We do a real open and close, and all these people who are like sitting on the fence, or hey, I kind of need to work on this movement, all of a sudden, boom, they're in and they're on. So just, I don't know, it makes people stay focused and they can kind of choose their own journey rather than me trying to say everyone needs to start here. So people can buy my courses. They can start with advanced ones if they're already advanced. They can start with beginner ones if they're very beginner. And my goal is to move them through, but they can kind of choose their own journey rather than, hey, here's the membership site and good luck.
So how do you bring them onto the site itself so they can start choosing things, right? Because if you have different lead magnets, that would mean you're running like 12 different ads at the same time. Or is it mostly organic?
Right. All my stuff is organic, right?
Yeah.
So that's good. So even with all the organic stuff, my original dream going into this was, I'm going to have 12 evergreen offers running at every time, like at any time. 12 evergreen funnels, like selling.
Mm.
In theory, it sounds fantastic. Someone downloads a specific lead magnet and then they get pitched in a specific funnel for that specific course on that
topic, right?
It seems great in practice. And I'm sure someone who's an absolute wizard at active campaign would be able to make it happen. But thanks to, you know, things I've learned from guys like Ramit Sethi and, you know, being in some of his courses, you're going to get, like, the 80-20 approach to this is send everyone through the most beginner funnel that you have.
Right.
Everyone. Doesn't matter even if they're advanced beginners. Everyone goes through the same how to improve your shoulder mobility funnel. And if they buy that course, then all that happens is that unlocks access to all their other courses
right.
that they can now buy as upsells and cross-sells and stuff like that. So they buy the shoulder mobility course, and now all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow, like, because I'm a customer, my strict pull-up course is now open, my muscle-up course is now open. They can be like, oh, I can buy that now. So all of a sudden you see this natural progression of, like, someone will they either buy the one-click upsell or they'll buy our course. They'll go through it 6-7 weeks. They're like, this is freaking fantastic. And then, boom, they're on to the next one. And they're on to the next one. And they're on to the next one. So they upsell themselves, but they get to still choose their own journey. Now, the people who go through that evergreen funnel and don't buy,
mm-hmm.
they're just on my email list. And then whenever our next launch is, we do a full-blown list-wide launch.
How long is the email list? How long are you taking people through? Because we just had Omar Barr not too long ago. And he's like, dude, you got to keep people on for a year or two.
Yeah. So we have, in terms of like in our evergreen funnel is just they get the free content that they signed up for. They later that day, they get the first video of like a 3-part video series.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the 3-part video series is done, that takes like 3 or 4 days to deliver that. After that, they go through a 6-day true open and closed launch. So the entire evergreen funnel is about a week and a half, 2 weeks. And then they're on our weekly email newsletter list,
right.
Which is still a, you know, Andre Chaperon will call it like a soap opera sequence. Like I'm still like,
oh, okay.
You know, we're still sending good emails every single week to various pieces of content. And like, you know, as it stands like today, the last like 5 emails we've sent have all been about something to do with pull-ups. And lo and behold, on Monday, we're releasing a strict pull-up course. So we've warmed the list. So it's kind of like, even though they're out of the evergreen funnel, there's still a funnel happening. We're still warming people and grooming them to be prepared for our next launch. After this one, we're going to groom them and prepare them for our nutrition launch, which will come in January, and so on and so forth. So it's like...
Every 2 months. Almost.
Yeah, roughly every 2 months. And some people do it every quarter. Some people do it twice a year. You know, for me, since I have so many products, I do it a little bit more frequently.
Yeah.
And I don't do 2-week launches. I do 5-day launches. And it's, you know, this simple, consistent pattern. And I make sure that during the launches, we're having fun with it. Like, it's not just like, buy my course or get the hell out of here. It's, hey, here's the course. It's a perfect fit if you need this, this, and this. Here's a video to go along with it. And a lot of people will be like, hey, I don't need this, but that was such a great email. You know, it's like, those people aren't going to leave your email list. And they're going to be warm and ready for the next launch if that is in their wheelhouse.
So you're relaunching these and you're not selling them other than the launch? Or can you still buy all these courses?
You cannot buy most of my courses.
Most of your courses.
So at any time, you'll be able to go to my website and there'll be like, let's say 3 out of the 12 will just say open.
Hmm.
And that's me, literally, and it's true. Like, we actually close down our courses most of the year. But if there's a couple that don't have as many students, and, you know, I feel like our coaching capacity can handle, like, having more people in, I'll just go to the website, change the button to send it to the checkout page, and say, this course is open, this one's open, this one's open. Obviously, leading up to a big launch, like, our pull-up course has been closed for a long time. So we got people that, you know, have probably tried to, oh, shoot, I used to be able to buy this on the website, but I can't anymore. And now we'll have a full-blown launch. It'll be open for 5 days, and then we will actually close the course where if someone tries to join in 2 weeks, they can't. It'll say enrollment closed.
You find this works better for you?
It works really well because psychologically it's like, especially since like my courses aren't teaching anyone to make money, right? It's not there's like the urgency of like you need to make more money. Mine is like it's a thorn in their side, but it's not such a big thorn that they are like – just pulling out their wallet ready to solve their problem. I have to convince them that now is the time to solve their problem. They already go to a CrossFit gym. They're already practicing movement. I'm like, hey, if you want the fast action way to solve your problem, you buy it now and then you're in, or you don't buy it now and you're gonna have to wait for me to open it again next year. And it's like all of a sudden that urgency. Ooh. I don't do discounts. I don't do anything like that. It's like you have urgency, you have scarcity, and it's real. And they know that by now. They know it's real. And then they can join. And that's it.
So you update these courses or it's the same one coming up? You update
so
them.
We've launched a couple of them before. And then every time we do like a relaunch, we go back in, we take the student's feedback and we make tweaks when necessary. Like, okay, a lot of people dropped off on this day. Or a lot of people were complaining in the Facebook group that this day was, you know, really hard. So we go and we make adjustments and tweaks, and then we can launch it as like, hey, new and improved, it's updated. And a lot of times we'll also add like a coaching call. So like every new launch, like if you join, you're also getting a bonus coaching call with me where we're going to talk about X, Y, Z, like a group coaching call.
Oh, really?
And then that'll end up in the course. So it's like you're continuously, every time you relaunch it, you're using some of your launch and some of the bonuses to just incentivize people like, hey, this course is even better now.
And that makes sense, yeah. So how long is a course usually go for? So like you said, you know, on which day someone's going to drop off? 8 weeks?
8 weeks is that's how all of my courses are.
So that's
they,
why
they know and they expect that.
That's why you're relaunching every 2 months, because it's about...
Right,
weeks. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
So if someone buys strict pull-up, you know, the strict pull-up course, like we're not going to, you know, hit them over the head with buy another course right away. We give them some upsell opportunity. A lot of them are going to take that, and a lot of them will maybe a month from now decide they're ready to move on to the next course, and they'll be able to do that from within our platform. But
it's interesting.
Otherwise, the actual full-blown launches happen about every 2 months.
Yeah, that really makes sense, because you're like a teacher then, in a way, right? And they're used to it. Like
it's an enrollment.
Yeah, so like Ben can only do one class at a time with his full attention, right? So then this is why I can't join the pull-up class, because, hey, I missed out 6 months ago, so now I'm at the gym, you know, looking a little weak for 6 months, and now it came in, it's like, okay, I'm going to do a pull-up. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense than, you know, everything being available.
Yep.
Because we thought about how to break this up, but yeah, if like we had someone... Like, he's actually teaching in a way, but most of the material is pre-done.
Right,
so
I mean,
not,
all
yeah.
my material is pre-done. I'm not in the Facebook groups, but I have a coaching staff that is. You know, we deliver tons of value on the back end, which is why our refund rate is, like, below 1%, which is actually, some people say that's actually too low. It means we should be upping our prices or selling harder. But regardless, I like where we're at. Our refund rate's really low, and... Again, it's the focus of the team. Like if we're focusing on this pull-up course,
yeah.
Like naturally the audience knows that like now is not the time. Like every single time we focus, that's the time to join that course, and then we close it, and then we open another one. So they can always go to our website and maybe join a couple of our like, you know, like direct sale courses that aren't necessarily huge. They're not something that we're going to maybe launch every single year, but they'll just kind of be there available for sale.
If
they buy those, then they'll get upsells to buy our other courses. But from the outside looking in, it's like, wow, this is real scarcity, which it is. This is real scarcity, and if I want to take advantage of this enrollment period, just like college or university, you have to join before the enrollment period closes or the ship sailed and you gotta wait till next semester.
That's actually super smart. You just gave me like a big insight into like looking at it from a different perspective. You know, like thinking of it as a like a school in a way, right?
Yeah, because if you think about it, especially if there's a coach interaction at all, like this student, like it doesn't make sense and it's not motivating for the student if like they can join tomorrow, they can join the next day, they can join 2 months from now, and they really care about it. Or let me get my life in order and then I can join.
Right.
And what happens is people never join, right? I mean. There's so many things that you and I will buy one day, but the reason we haven't bought today is because we're just like, you know, it's not broken yet. I'm in the market maybe for a new laptop. My laptop isn't broken, but it's slowing down a little bit. There's some new features on the market. If hypothetically that Apple laptop was only available for sale for 2 weeks a year, you know, guess what? Credit card's coming out and I'm buying it. Now for a physical product company, obviously it doesn't necessarily make sense because you're going to be sitting on lots of inventory. But in an e-course company, right, we're not sitting on inventory. It doesn't cost us any extra to just like not open the course. It's more of just like our attention and the attention of our audience that seems to, and it seems to be working.
What's the cost of an average course that you're selling?
$200.
$200.
$197. Yeah.
So for 8 weeks, that's actually pretty fair.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fair, and they get. Like, they get lifetime access to it. That's another thing that we do. We don't limit them to only 8 weeks, so that knocks down the objection of, like, I'm not ready yet, but you said I have to buy now. It's like, hey, don't worry. If you're not ready yet, you can go through it whenever you want. We're going to have more students going through now, so the engagement's going to be higher.
Right.
But you could buy it during the open enrollment period and wait 5 months before you even open the course. That's totally fine, but this is your chance to buy. And that's it. So that kind of kills two birds with one stone there.
But if someone bought it now, and they're like, oh, I don't have time now, but you're selling it again in like a year and a half, and they're like, I want to join this class.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, if they, let's say they didn't buy now.
Let's say they bought right now, but they just haven't went through the course. They're like, you know.
Oh, yeah. So when we, there is no, it's not like we're like kicking out all the old students.
Yeah.
Like for instance, we've had students go through a course like 3 or 4 times, right? It's not really any extra work for the coaches, maybe a little bit, but the student being able to go through that course in another round or another round or another round, they're not going to refund now. They're not sitting there like, well, I didn't get the value. I'm never going to get any more coaching. I might as well just get my money back on this. Instead, they're like, all right, like I went through it one round. I saw good results, but I still have more results I think I can get. I'm going to hold on to this. And when I'm ready, I'm going to come back to it.
Got it.
And they'll get all the, you know, they all they have to do is go back to the Facebook group, go back through their coaching, and they're still going to get the coaching feedback.
So you have one Facebook group. I would imagine it's closed.
Correct. I have a Facebook group at each individual course.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
The only one I don't is for my nutrition course, because that one's very comprehensive and there doesn't need to be any really coaching. We give them everything they need. But all the other ones that are movement-based, where like it helps to have a coach say, you're not moving right or you are moving right, good job. All of those are individual Facebook groups, which sounds really complicated, and it could be if we tried to make it complicated. It's actually pretty simple. The coach literally just goes into each group, checks for all the new notifications, responds to the comments, moves on to the next group. And what's funny is, like, sure, there's not very much cross-pollination. Like, it's not like we're, like, trying to build a huge community where everyone's excited about all these other courses. But that's not necessarily what we're trying to do. We're just trying to give them the coaching feedback they want. And they can always get the community from, like, we do have a really big, like, free Facebook group. You know, I don't really, it's not that big of a deal. I will go in there and answer some questions and have some fun in there. But our goal, they already have the community they need at their gym. We're just trying to basically upgrade their experience where they're getting ahead of their community by using our stuff.
Have you read the James Remco book that just came out?
Yeah. I read
Work More.
Work Less.
Yeah.
Make More.
Make More Work. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. I've actually talked to James.
Yeah. It seems very similar, like very similar trajectory that you're on.
Well, you know, so James would argue that I am, and he told me this directly, is that, you know, I'm cannibalizing lots by offering lifetime access to a course. And, you know, he'd obviously suggest moving to the membership model, which obviously works really well for him.
Yeah.
And he has a great thing going on. And mainly because of that book and because of his encouragement, I was very, very, very close to shutting everything down and moving over to a membership model.
Pulling a trigger on it.
But I realized that is a very, once you pull the trigger on that, and all of a sudden your membership site, all of your courses are now available inside of that, it's impossible to go back from that. It's very hard to go back from that. And the other guru that I follow, Ramit Sethi, essentially has been there and done that. He did the membership site model.
Yeah.
He had a very profitable one. He was making $1 million a year, but the churn behind it was something they just couldn't deal with. Like, they had to replace their customer base every single year and not experience growth. They just, you know, it's one thing if you're just satisfied with making
spinning in place,
right, and staying in place. But if you're trying to grow and you're on a growth trajectory and you want to expand into different markets, then products actually tend to be better because you can always release a new product.
Yeah.
But if the only product you have is a membership site, it's one product technically. So it's very hard to say, oh, come buy this new and improved product, right? It's a tougher sell. It's a simpler sell to have one product.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't move with your market nearly as much. You'd have to totally reposition your offering, and then people inside are like, wait, I thought we were getting this. So, and it turns into this very, very big overwhelm, especially for my athletes. Like, in fitness, if someone comes into my site and there are, you know, 100 mini courses and there's 10 different paths that they can take, I know them. They get overwhelmed. But when I have them on one track and I say, you take this course and you do it for the next 8 weeks and then come back to me and show me your results, all of a sudden now they have that tangible, like, this is my one focus, and then I'll move on to the next one. And then I'll move on to the next one. So it incentivizes us to do a good job coaching them. But when they see the results, they come back and they buy another course.
I still say you're on the same trajectory, though. Like, I wouldn't say you should do a membership site, because I think that's not the right model. but you're still moving in the same direction. Because, you know, the thing with James, which really changed a lot for him in the last few years, is he is making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
He's not putting in a lot of effort time-wise into what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he's got zero fulfillment.
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
Which you don't have either. There's not really any fulfillment. Like, you have these courses up, and yeah, you go in, you can coach people, which he does too.
Yeah.
I think one day a week, he said. Which, you know. But there's no fulfillment. Like, that's a dream.
Yeah, I mean, literally, what he does every day, you know, based on what his book said, was like, he goes in, he checks in, he like checks into his website or his membership dashboard once a day, answers questions, and then he's surfing.
That's it.
And that's essentially what I'm doing, except I'm not even checking in. I have a coach who does that.
And not surfing. You're fishing.
And I'm not surfing, I'm fishing, correct. Maybe one day I'll learn to surf. But it's working for me. Now, granted, you know, it's very easy to always say, like, what's on the other side? Like, the grass is greener, always on the other side. But for us, the cadence that we have, the way that we're able to focus my team on specific launches and really knock them out of the park and have lots of promotions behind it, it's been really great. And I've been very excited with how it's going.
How big is the team?
Right now I have 10 people in various capacities. A lot of them obviously are more like part-time contractors, and I have two that I would argue are they're full-time pay. They might not be giving me 40 hours, but they're getting paid very well.
Who gives 40 hours?
Right.
None of us do that. Yeah, so what I'm thinking is you've built this business organically.
Yes.
And I think that's what I want some people to realize when they're listening to it, you know, because you haven't even played around with remarketing much, with cold traffic much. Like, there's nothing much there
We've done zero cold traffic.
Yeah.
We've done, like, I'm talking, like, within the last couple months is the first time we even opened the retargeting faucet, so to speak. But, like, that was profitable. I mean, that was cool. So we're going to do it again, and we're going to slowly but surely peak. Now that we kind of have like the evergreen revenue coming in, and we know that when someone joins our email list, no matter where it is, they're going to get an offer. It's more attractive now for us to play around with the paid ads. I know it's easy to lose money, or it's easy to put in a little bit of money and see, you know, 4x returns and be like, I'm going to be a millionaire. And then all of a sudden when you scale it up, it goes away. So whatever we do, we're going to take a very diligent, steady approach and you know, say, how can we make this work for us in the long term? So that's definitely one of the next stages for me.
Yeah, I think the way you're doing it, just getting the remarketing locked in and doing a little bit maybe cold traffic on the launches, but not much. I think with the way you're doing it now, that's where the biggest bang of the buck is, you know? Like, that's where I would focus it.
Yeah.
But not just Facebook. Like, I would mean remarketing and remarketing, like anywhere on the web.
Yeah.
But this is, once you set these in place, you can move them over to every single course, because the idea is the same behind each one, so we can get the system down for that.
Sure.
There's no way you can lose money on good remarketing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the one that's like the gold mine that you haven't tapped into yet.
Correct.
I remember you, like a year ago, I think, or 2 years ago, you were mentioning that the main traffic source was these viral videos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you talk about these a little bit?
Sure. So one of the big, I guess kind of like the tipping point in my business was when I was challenged by a mentor to figure out how we can make food porn videos. So if, I don't know if you remember, if like 4 or 5 years ago on Facebook, maybe it wasn't even 4 or 5 years ago, it's like 3 years ago, everywhere, every time you'd log into Facebook, the only thing you'd see are those like square hand food recipe videos for like triple bacon, you know, whatever, triple bacon mac and cheese and triple decker Oreo pudding something.
I remember those. They're kind of gone now.
Right. They're kind of gone because Facebook is like, wait a minute, they've hacked us. So the reason, what happened was Tasty and all these other like companies realized that if they got traction on their videos, social media, specifically Facebook, is so social and easy to share things that once you get some virality, it's like you're like it's over, right?
Right, right, right.
So what they did was they kind of figured out how to make a video go viral. A couple like random things is like make the videos a square. It's going to take up more real estate when someone's scrolling vertically through their Facebook feed on their phone. make your videos playable and digestible without any audio, because no one listens to audio when they're going through Facebook, right?
True.
You have to even click on the video just to get the audio to pop up. So all of these things, like you have autoplay working for you, you have no audio, you have the dimensions of the newsfeed, and they kind of like figured out like, hey, these square videos that you don't need audio, that have lots of visual effects, tend to go very viral, especially if there's, you know, some sexy cheeseburger waiting on the other end at the end. And so my buddy Adam was just like, we need to figure out how to make these for our businesses. It was kind of like a little mastermind. And he was the leader. And I was like, okay, challenge accepted. You know, I think I can do this. So I've made like 5 or 6 videos by myself, horrible video editing, but I at least knew my market well enough to like, to understand what would make a CrossFitter stop dead in his tracks while he's scrolling through Instagram or scrolling through Facebook. That was Facebook mainly to start. So what is gonna make my audience just stop dead in their tracks and wanna keep watching? So I made a bunch of videos around that, released a couple, they got good engagement. And I was like, all right, there might be something here. And then finally one day I released some really shitty video about how to unload a barbell, like how to basically take weights off of a bar. And I compared the wrong ways of doing it with the right ways of doing it. And then sure enough, I posted it like 8 p.m. I live in Japan, so I posted it like 8 p.m. in Japan, like, you know, watched Netflix or something, wound down for the day. And I like checked to see how the video was doing before I went to bed, and I was like, oh my gosh, like it has 100 shares right now, and like it already has like, I think it was like 8,000 views. I'm like, wow, this is gonna be really big. Well, what I didn't think about was like exponential returns, right? When you get someone to share, it has exponential returns, not linear. So sure enough, I wake up in the morning and it has 650,000 views, over 1,700 shares, and thousands of comments. And I was like,
from a barbell,
from a really, really crappy 31 second video that I made about 20 minutes, right? And that was the tipping point. And then I just basically took that same formula and kept applying it to different aspects, different coaching tips, different pointers, different stupid CrossFit things, different funny things. And all of a sudden it just really, really exploded my email list.
How do you do it for coaching?
For CrossFit coaching. So but basically you show someone doing something really stupid and then you show them doing something really good and you make a point of it, and it's very attractive to the eye and attractive to coaches and stuff.
And is that still working really well now? Or?
It's working. It definitely, Facebook has certainly like shut down the virality aspect significantly because a lot of people were doing really well with it. But that being said, we still have videos go viral. Granted, they're not getting 700,000, you know, a million views in like 2 days, like I've had some do. We had one video still now is sitting at like just under 5 million views, and it got most of those in its first week. Facebook, you know, Mark Zuckerberg decided he wanted people to see their grandparents more than these random pages and stuff like that. So it's toned down a little bit, but it still works. We still get a ton of traffic.
Really?
From these videos, because it's engaging. People share it. You get engagement from, you know, various people from across the web, and then all of a sudden you got a lot of people coming to your email list.
So how is that look when you transfer these to Instagram and YouTube? What's the...
So you don't transfer them to YouTube.
No.
That's the first tip. Is YouTube's all about watch time. You're going to kill your watch time if you're posting 40-second videos. Some people do it and they have huge channels. That's great. But YouTube has told people that 12 minutes is the optimal length.
That's what I've seen too with fire testing. Yeah.
So it's like 8 to 12 minutes is pretty much that sweet spot. And that's what I do, is I create longer videos for YouTube.
For YouTube, okay.
And then a lot of times I take that longer video and then I say, how can I condense one point from this video into 60 seconds or less? And then that's what I do. And the reason I just say 60 seconds or less is because that allows me to kill two birds with one stone. I create this video, it's, let's say, 59 seconds, I can post it on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram has a 60-second limit.
Yeah.
So they're the same videos, they go on both different platforms, and it works very well. Because on Instagram, it's the same thing, it's less shareable, but people can still tag their friends and things like that. So the same concept of like super eye-catching, what videos are gonna make you stop in your tracks when you're scrolling, that is what we apply to both Facebook and Instagram.
What's the channel? Just so in case people
want
to join.
Just WOD Prep. Everything I have is just WOD Prep. WODPREP. You can see our videos on Instagram. You can see them on Facebook. You can go to YouTube and find them as well. The one thing that I think is a big play that we're still experimenting with is the Instagram stories. There's a lot you can do with them. It's very much the same thing as like a shareable video. I'm still trying to master it, but the data is showing that you get a lot of swipe ups and a lot of people visiting your website if you have a really good story. What I found with stories is you do need to tell a story. If you just post random crap, like me, I'll like post a picture of my food and post a picture of some random thing I see on the street. It's like people are just gonna skip right through that and they're not gonna watch. But if you tell a story via your story,
yeah,
have a beginning, middle, and end, or problem, agitate, solution, all of a sudden you're gonna get a lot more engagement.
Yeah, well, we found for some clients, testimonials.
Sure.
Broken up work really well as remarketing in stories.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one thing we found lately that's like a sweet spot. Like people do wanna watch those. Especially since you got to break it up into like a minute, right? So it's 15 seconds of like, you know, these phrases of like, yeah, and I did this and this happened, you know?
Yeah.
So that did work. For some other things, not really. Cold traffic, we didn't have so much good experience with the stories.
Yeah, for me, it's all organic, right? So
but it's a similar idea, right? Because whether you pay for it or not, you're still posting and getting results.
Well, that's what a lot of people now are taking that same viral video strategy that I have for Facebook and Instagram. Again, all my stuff was organic, so I'm getting all these organic views, and all people were doing is running paid traffic to it, you know, and it's kind of like the spark that sets the fire, right? So you boost the video for $5 or whatever, and all of a sudden, like, you get tons of engagement because people are sharing your ad, which that's what's so attractive about this kind of marketing is like the Dollar Shave Club guys.
Yeah, I love those guys.
The reason they exploded is because they made a viral ad. If you make your ad remarkable, like Squatty Potty, there's another example. Like, their ad was so entertaining and remarkable, people wanted to share it with their friends, and that's free to them, and it explodes their brand. So how can you make, like, are you, it doesn't work for every industry, but do you have a product, or do you have coaching, or do you have, like, an angle to approach your business where you can make marketing that is remarkable, like make marketing want to be shared by your audience. That's like a sweet spot that if you can unlock it, it probably would help me a lot if I ran some paid traffic.
So the funny thing about that, that Dollar Shave Club, I shared that ad a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, some of the people on my friends list and they're like, oh, that's cool, man. I like the shaving thing. I was like, no. This is not why I'm sharing it.
Yeah.
Like, look how brilliant this thing is.
Yep.
Right? It's the funniest thing I've seen in a long time. So, yeah, it's definitely done its purpose, right? Like, yep. I knew some people that actually bought the thing, but I was like, I didn't even share it for that at all. Like, that wasn't the point. But, yeah, to what Ben said before, no, you do not boost posts, guys, ever.
Okay, ever. Don't do that.
just that thing just kind of irked me. I was like, yeah, you do not want to boost posts.
Noted.
You do want to use your posts though as regular ads, right?
Sure.
You can just run them to a different audience. Just don't boost, right?
Got it.
And still have the conversions set up as that's the reason why you're doing it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. As you can tell, I don't know anything about it.
It's fine. Yeah. But I mean, the idea is there. It's just not that method. What do you think is the next step? Since I've got a couple customers that came in lately, right? And they've moved away from Facebook to Instagram. Some of them have 500,000 followers on Instagram, which, you know, is pretty impressive. Yeah. But they're seeing their reach also start going down a lot on Instagram. You know, they're saying like it went down by like 60-70% for some of them.
Yeah.
Which means Mark is getting on this, you know, business side now. He's like, okay, Instagram's the next one.
Yeah.
So what is the next idea? Like, what?
Unfortunately, I don't know, but I think the Instagram landscape is going to turn very similar into what Facebook did. So, unfortunately, Facebook and Instagram, because they're own, you know, same people, they're really good at identifying who's using their platform for businesses or for business purposes.
That's
so
true.
All of a sudden, all of these influencers who are making money off affiliate deals and these, you know, these companies who are, you know, selling their product, the engagement's going to go down, and they're going to make you pay for it. That's, like, the bottom line.
It went down a lot for a lot of people, too.
Yeah, and it's what happened with, like, back in the day when you'd post to Facebook. It's like everyone who liked your page would see your post, and then it's like, not so far. You know, you're going to have to spend money on ads, and that's when you kind of, that's when I unlocked the viral side of things to get around that and get the organic traffic. And now Facebook is like, they shut down the virality. They're like, oh, even though that person shared it, we're not going to show it to all of his friends. Because that's the only explanation to why, you know, videos went from being able to get like almost a million views in like a couple days to the same exact video posted the next week with the, you know, same level of content, the same style of content, the same type of coaching, the same everything would just like fall flat. And everybody's like, wait, what the heck happened to Facebook engagement? They changed something to kind of shut that down, to throttle it, to make it so everyone wasn't seeing food porn videos everywhere. My guess is that Instagram's going to do the same thing. I don't know at what capacity. Our views have stayed pretty consistent, but I don't necessarily know what's going to happen, whether they're going to be able to identify like, oh, this is just a person posting interesting stuff, and in which case, yeah, we want people to see it, or, hey, no, this is someone who's using this for business purposes. I don't necessarily know how they're going to track, but I just wouldn't rely on Facebook and Instagram specifically to be your main traffic sources. Like, to me, the winner in the long run by far is YouTube. I have videos, crappy videos that I produced 3-4 years ago, terrible videos, and they're still bringing me 100 leads a week. You can't do that on Instagram and Facebook. No one's scrolling all the way to the bottom of your Instagram feed to look at the third post that you did, you know, 3 years ago and click on it and then like engage with the content. It just doesn't happen. And on Facebook, same thing. It's like you're only hitting them for that moment of time that they're on Facebook.
Yeah.
Right? But on YouTube, people are going there to search for things. It's the second biggest search engine in the world.
That's true.
So when people ask how to do blank, how to do muscle ups, my videos on how to do muscle ups are there from 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and they're still raking in views, subscribers, to my email list. It's fantastic, and it's very evergreen. So that's, I'm all in on YouTube. And another good thing about YouTube is they're not messing around with their algorithms all the time. They're getting the revenue they want off of the paid advertising on YouTube.
Right.
They're not sitting there trying to prevent people
from
viewing your stuff. That's not what they're trying to do. They're just trying to increase their watch time. They want to become like a Netflix. So as long as you're producing good content that people watch, YouTube's going to love you because you're keeping them on the platform and they're seeing more ads.
Have you tried Snapchat and any of these to kind of mess around with it now?
No, I thought about opening a Snapchat and then Instagram came out with Instagram Stories and that ship sailed for sure.
Okay, yeah, because I just had someone on not too long ago, Saba Ali. She's a like an Instagram queen, she calls herself, but she said all of her age group type of peers, you know, they're all on Snapchat. They're leaving Facebook, Instagram, yeah, they're still on, you know, but she really said, you know, Snapchat, that's like where their personal stuff went, you know?
Yeah, interesting.
I'm not on it, you know, but, you know, I was just curious to see.
Yeah, for me, it's just, I know a lot of people in the fitness space who used to have it, and now they're just, you know, they're like, no, Instagram took that away, and you can kind of tell, like, Snap has been in the news lately for just poor performance and stuff like that. It's just like, yeah, I just don't see. I think Instagram took a pretty vicious swing there, and it's going to be tough to recover. And honestly, it's like, I think for any creator, for any business, it's really important not to be spread thin.
No, it's not. That's why I was curious, yeah.
In my opinion, like, I would much rather have a business that dominates one, specifically YouTube, than someone who's okay at all of them. And I say this from someone who's okay at all of them, right? Like, I have 60-ish thousand on YouTube, 40-ish thousand on Instagram, 140-ish thousand on Facebook. But honestly, it's like, if I focused all of my efforts and just did YouTube, or maybe just did Instagram, I'd probably maybe be in a better place. But I just, when I first started, I did do all three. But in hindsight, it's like, if you can really master one platform, especially one that has evergreen content like YouTube or Google SEO, those are two platforms that are very beneficial to your business in the long run.
And you haven't done YouTube advertising at all?
Have not done any YouTube advertising, no.
Okay. Yeah, because I tell listeners a lot that with YouTube, what I like is you can target an actual video. So you can pick like your favorite videos that someone worked so hard to get traffic to and only target those. Right?
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So
you didn't know that.
Yeah. So you can pick like 10 of your favorite videos with millions of views and be like, okay, thanks, guy.
Hmm.
I'm going to be on it now.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And that's actually an argument for me. Like, I had someone ask me that the other day. Like, hey, why do you run ads in your videos? Because you're not going to make that much off of ads, and your competitors can target your videos. And I was like, what? They can do that? So I've never really looked into it. But that's from the other side of the spectrum. I definitely have a couple that come to mind that I would love to target. So
yeah,
that's
so
great.
So like before, Tim Ferriss used to have AdSense on his site, and a couple of my friends and I, we targeted his website.
Mm-hmm.
So we would just only put stuff on Tim Ferriss's site,
right,
until he closed the AdSense.
Of course,
yeah.
Of course.
But with YouTube, it's actually a shortcut that I tell a lot of people. Like, why would you build a channel for the next 5 years if we can just jack the main videos? You know, already
right,
all the traffic.
Right, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
and you just want to do it with a, you know, like, again, work backwards from the start. Even if you're not creating the content, like when someone types in a specific search term that your exact audience, like for me, it's like how to do a strict pull-up.
Right.
Because if you write strict in front of it, that means they're a CrossFitter. Because
everybody
else would just say how to do a pull-up, right?
Okay.
But in CrossFit, we delineate between strict, kipping, butterfly, all kinds of different stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
So if someone types in how to do a strict pull-up, all of a sudden they've raised their hand. They said, "Hey, I'm a CrossFitter." The top video, which it might be mine, I don't know. But if the top video was someone else's, maybe CrossFit HQ's, and I just said, "Hey, let's run an ad where I'm showing off a free pull-up training course," it's probably gonna get a lot of clicks and a lot of leads. That's a great idea.
Yeah, like one thing we do too. If someone is on your side of the table, we'll run ads on the best videos that they have.
Mm.
So now it means you not only have the video, but you have the banner ad on the bottom and the banner on the side. So you take up the whole
page.
So
you're running ads on your own,
stuff.
Stuff.
So
that's
no one else
idea.
Can just come in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great.
So
idea.
So it's just a two-way, you know, that we can fight this battle. But
yeah.
But yeah, I always tell people, like, you know, YouTube, for remarketing especially.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
That's something I definitely want to get into and slowly but surely pursue that.
Well, you have a lot of things you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, every single launch you're testing, you know, which is great. Like, that's something which I don't think everyone's doing. And you have a good opportunity, too, because every 2 months you have another test.
Exactly.
Right? Which is great.
Yep.
And then you can bring those systems from the same launch
yep.
onto the next one, whatever's working.
We're following the same checklist
yeah.
every time. We don't make it so predictable that the audience, like, knows, like, every launch they do is going to be a three-part video series with some...
Yeah.
You know, crazy offer. Like this launch we're doing right now, there's no videos in the front end. It's just going to be a live webinar, actually, to kick off the launch.
Have you done many of those? Have you done many webinars?
This will be my first sales webinar, I think. I've done webinars where I've coached, but this is going to be my first sales webinar. But I love being on camera, so
I'm just curious how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. It'll be fun either way. But that's the thing is with these short feedback loops, every 2 months, we take what was good from the previous launch, we keep it, we throw out what didn't work or what we didn't want to, you know, don't want to focus on this time, and it allows us to just keep refining and keep adding. So it started with just running a launch.
Right.
And then next was adding a launch where we had a countdown timer. And then next was like adding a launch where we had a countdown timer and maybe played around with, you know, like a card abandonment sequence or something
right,
like
right.
that. And then the next, you know, so we just layer like little bits of complexity every single time. And then now launches aren't this crazy endeavor where we're staying up till 4 a.m. just to make sure the email goes out on time. You know, it's like, nope, it's much calmer.
Yeah.
It's much more controlled. We roughly know what, like, I can predictably tell you we're going to make, you know, X amount of dollars in our next launch just because those are the numbers and that's what works.
Sweet. One question before we go off. You mentioned, you know, Facebook finding out who's the one doing the business viral videos and the one who's not.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of call to action do you have to make sure that they don't figure out you're one of these businesses that should be shut down?
Sure. Well, yeah, maybe not shut down. I don't think they're going to do that because I am providing good content. But yeah,
but
like,
you know what
throttling.
I mean? Just shut down by, you know, like limiting
hey,
engagement and things like that.
You need to pay
like
for
right?
this, yeah.
yeah.
So the way I've gotten around that in the past, and again, it might not work as well, But the way I've gotten around that in the past, and this is something that I learned from actually, like, I think it was Brian Naran from Samkart, used to tell his people this, is that if you leave the call to action link in the comments rather than the actual post, the bots that crawl these posts and say, are they trying to get people to leave Facebook? Yes or no? When you post a video, right, and it's like this awesome video, and you just say, hey, hope you like, you know, XYZ, or let me use a real example so people can relate. You know, are you struggling with pull-ups? Check out this video. If you want our free training course, check the link in the comments.
Right, I see all of that.
So all of a sudden, they go to comment, or they, you know, a lot of my call to actions in the video will be like, which one are you? Leave a comment below. And it'll be like, I had like presented three different versions. So when they click comment, the first comment they see is WOD Preps with a call to action. Download free pull-up training course here. And it's this beautiful picture that automatically loads on the back end of that link. It's like the preview image, and all of a sudden you're taking up a ton of real estate in the comments. People want to click it. So that's how we did it, and it certainly seemed to help, because whenever we post with a link in the an actual link in the description, it would be like, oh wow, this didn't go anywhere.
Really?
Then we take the link out and put it in the comments, boom, it would explode.
Interesting.
I don't know, it, you know, it's not.
Gotta test that a little
more.
It's
a hack. I'm sure Facebook's done something to maybe
probably listening now.
Yeah,
they're shutting it down.
Mark,
as we speak,
you've probably done something to counteract that. So if that's one of those things where, like, is that a long term play? No, it's a cute little hack.
Yeah,
but don't hang your entire business on it, people.
Did you find anything similar in Instagram?
No, I'm not an Instagram pro. We've built a decent sized audience, but I have not done any one thing that's like, wow, this really like crushed it on Instagram. I know people that use bots just like totally crush it, but
yeah,
to me it's just like, that's not the road I want to go down.
The right way. No, I'm just seeing like a normal, you know, like a regular long-term strategy.
Yeah, no,
know?
For me it's, again, it's the, you, I look at it, I look at the platforms differently, right?
Yeah.
So like, think about Facebook and Instagram, they're what I call distraction platforms. People are there not to seek a specific, you know, shred of knowledge, right? What are they there to do?
Distract themselves.
They're
That's
sitting
it.
On the toilet. They're
yeah.
being bored at work. They're doing something, and they're being unproductive, really, for, you know, all intents and purposes. They're being unproductive, and they're just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. They're never going to reach the end. They just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And then you need to have your content interrupt that scroll enough for them to stop and engage. That's a very big task. But if your Instagram page and your Facebook page are focused on those two things, interrupting the scrolling zombies,
yeah,
that's how you're going to win. And that's, it's not a hack, it's just a strategy. Like, is your video in that first 3 seconds, or even a picture, graphic, does the eye look at it, and does it capture their attention within the first 3 seconds? That's what's going to really pull them in.
Okay. I'm going to write that down, by the way. That's like the best name for the show, interrupting the scrolling zombies.
Yeah, nice. Interrupting the scrolling zombies. And then on YouTube's all about YouTube's a search content platform, so like your YouTube content doesn't need to distract them, it just needs to keep them watching. So those are the two different, that's it.
Awesome. Ben, where can people find you?
Just WOD Prep. So WOD Prep on all the social media platforms, WODPrep.com, Facebook.com/WODPrep, Instagram.com/WODPrep, YouTube.com/WODPrep. It's pretty simple to find.
I would have done.